Numbers chapter 18. And the Lord said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, and thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. And thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee and minister unto thee, but thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness. And they shall keep thy charge and the charge of all the tabernacle, only they shall not come nigh the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, that neither they nor ye also die. And they shall be joined unto thee and keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation for all the service of the tabernacle, and a stranger shall not come nigh unto you. And ye shall keep the charge of the sanctuary and the charge of the altar, that there be no wrath any more upon the children of Israel. And I, behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. To you they are given as a gift for the Lord to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Therefore, thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest's office for everything of the altar and within the veil, and ye shall serve. I have given your priest's office unto you as a service of gift, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, behold, I also have given thee the charge of my heave offerings of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever. This shall be thine of the most holy things, reserved from the fire, every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, and every sin offering of theirs, and every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons. In the most holy place shalt thou eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy unto thee. And this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given them unto thee, and to thy sons, and to thy daughters with thee, by statute forever. Every one that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. All the best of the oil, and all the best of the wine, and of the wheat, the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. And whatsoever is first ripe in the land, which they shall bring unto the Lord, shall be thine. Every one that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. Everything devoted in Israel shall be thine. Everything that openeth the matrix in all flesh, which they bring unto the Lord, whether it be of men or beasts, shall be thine. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man shalt thou surely redeem, and the firstling of unclean beasts shalt thou redeem. Those that are to be redeemed from a month old shalt thou redeem, according to thine estimation, for the money of 5 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerah. But the firstling of the cow, or the firstling of the sheep, or the firstling of a goat, thou shalt not redeem, they are holy. Thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon the altar, and shalt burn their fat for an offering made by fire for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the flesh of them shall be thine, as the wave breast and as the right shoulder are thine. All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters unto thee, by statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Thou shalt bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever through your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. For the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up an heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. And this is your heave offering, shall be reckoned unto you, as though it were the corn of the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus ye also shall offer an heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes which ye receive of the children of Israel. And ye shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all your gifts ye shall offer every heave offering of the Lord, for all the best thereof, even the hallowed part thereof, out of it. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, when ye have heaved the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor and as the increase of the winepress. And ye shall eat it in every place, ye and your households, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. And ye shall bear no sin by reason of it, when ye have heaved from it the best of it. Neither shall ye pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest ye die. Father, we thank you for your word that you have reliably transmitted down to us, and you've given to us to be a witness that we might understand you better and know how to arrange our lives to please you. And I pray that you would just take from this passage what happened so long ago, that you would, as you taught the children of Israel, you would also teach us how it applies to us in our day, that we might be pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now this is our second time through the Bible. It took us about 10 years the first time, and we're a year or so in this time. And as we've been going through and getting some of these less familiar passages in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, I found it really interesting just to see how much God put way back there to show us and prepare us for Jesus Christ and His ministry. How we saw Him in all the items of the tabernacle, as they built the tabernacle and they had the showbread. And of course, Jesus said that He was the bread of life. And as they had the lampstand to always be lit, and He said that He was the light of the world, and how that was all before the Ark of the Covenant and the Ten Commandments, and so many things just pointed to Jesus Christ. And so I hope you found it interesting too, but I just found as we've been in Numbers, it's been very interesting to see how much it has that is so applicable to us today. Now, as we worked up to chapter 18, the last couple of chapters, we've seen some pretty dramatic scenes, haven't we? We've seen Korah come up and rebel against the authority of Moses and of Aaron, and wanting to take the priesthood upon himself and upon 250 leaders of the tribes. And they all came up with their censers and were going to make the offering themselves instead of the way God prescribed through Aaron and through his sons. And also the rebellion there, God didn't take it very lightly, did he? He opened up the earth and swallowed them and their families and all their belongings and all that, and a big hole in the earth, and then closed it up after them. Then he took fire from heaven, and the 250 that had strange fire and were bringing their incense before the Lord, fire from heaven destroyed them. So pretty dramatic there. And then in the last chapter, The people were still rebelling and saying, Moses, look at all this trouble you caused. You caused the people of God, some of them to die, and that's all your fault. So God said, all right, I'm going to remind this people. I'm going to remind them that I'm the one that set up the structure, that I'm the one who set up the way to come to me. Because remember, the whole point of all this tabernacle and all those things that we don't live with daily anymore. That's not part of our experience. It's not really part of anybody's experience, even the Jews, since the temple was destroyed in AD 70. This hasn't gone on anymore. These sacrifices and routines and all those fixtures and everything, although there's many that want to rebuild it and many believe it will be done before Christ comes again. So God said, all right, I'm going to be a witness to the people. I want every tribal leader, all 12 of you, to bring your rod, your symbol of power, your walking stick, that you come and bring it. And then Moses, everyone write their name on it. And for the tribe of Levi, write Aaron's name on it. And then put them before the Ark of the Covenant. So they go in to the Holy of Holies, the innermost part where God comes to speak to Moses. That represents His presence there, where the Ten Commandments are down inside. And lay those rods before him. And then in the morning, Moses went back in to get them. He gathers the 12 rods. But Aaron's rod has blossomed with blooms. It has even borne fruit. It has almonds on it overnight. So God said, this is the one I've chosen. So he brings the rod back. Let's everyone pick their rod and see that God specifically said, Aaron is my high priest. God has chosen him. It's not Moses and Aaron that took over this role. They sure didn't get it by military power or politics or anything else. But God has chosen. So God says, I've appointed a way, and this is it. Well, that's important because it's important for us to learn. Because today, what's the big complaint in society? You Christians are so intolerant. You're so closed-minded. You think your way is better than everybody else's. And if they don't follow your particular God, your particular Savior, then they're going to hell. Well, even though some people, when they're interviewed on TV, won't admit it, that's true. It's not popular, but it's true. Because Jesus Christ came and He said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. That's it. There's one way. That's what God did in the Old Testament. The whole point there was that God's presence was going to be manifest among His people, but there's a problem with that, isn't there? Because no man can see God and live. God is holy. God is just, and we're sinful people. And if we were to just come into His presence, we'd all be destroyed. So God, back in the Old Testament, He made a very intricate way. He made a tent with an inner chamber, with an Ark of the Covenant made just so. And it's all hidden by a curtain and could only be entered by the high priest on the special day of atonement. Only then by the blood of bulls, and on and on and on. This whole process for forgiveness of the people's sins. Well, now they've come through. So God has said, okay, this is my way. It comes through the tribe of Levi. It comes through Aaron and his sons. They're the priests. They're the ones that are going to represent you before me. They're the ones that are going to take the sin offerings that you bring and offer the blood before me so that you can be forgiven of your sins. This is the way. So now in chapter 18, he's instructing Aaron exactly how he's supposed to do it. And he already knows the ceremonies. All that's already been laid out. But now chapter 18 says, and the Lord said unto Aaron. Right? That's as direct as you can get, right? That's not somebody interpretation or somebody had a dream or whatever. God, I believe, verbally spoke, because He spoke from without in that inner part where Aaron could hear it in his ears and understand it. And I'd say good plain English, but it was probably good plain Hebrew. And the Lord said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons, okay, Aaron and his sons, and thy father's house, all the tribe of Levi. Okay, he's a descendant of Levi, so is Moses. So it's talking about you and your sons, the priests, and the whole tribe of Levi, with thee, shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary. Now that sounds a little odd in our use. The iniquity of the sanctuary, the sin of the sanctuary. What's wrong with the sanctuary? Well, nothing is wrong with the sanctuary. But this whole tabernacle exists for a way to get to God. And the only way to get to God is to have your sins forgiven. In the Old Testament, that was through your offering, your lamb, your turtle dove, your grain, your meal offerings, all these things, and their shed blood. In our day, it's through Jesus Christ and His shed blood. The only way to get to God is to have your sins forgiven. Well, that's the iniquity of the sanctuary. So he said, okay, Aaron, your family's priest, your whole tribe as Levites, that's your job, is to take care of the sin offerings and do those things and represent the people before me. and thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. So all of Levi bears the service of the whole tabernacle, but Aaron and his sons only are the priests. And thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee, and minister unto thee, but thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness. So he says, the whole tribe of Levi, because that's where we're having this trouble here. First we've had other Levites rebel, and then we've had even other tribes saying, well, we want to be the priest. And God said, no, Aaron, you and your sons are the priests. But your whole tribe of Levi are to serve in the tabernacle. That's your job. But only your sons can serve before the tabernacle of witness. That's the Ark of the Covenant. That's inside the tent there. It means there only the priests can go in there. And they shall keep thy charge. In other words, all your family, all the tribe of Levi, are there to help you, to do your job. You're in charge of them. And all the tabernacle. Only they shall not come near the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, that neither they nor ye also die. But you can't let them go in and do your job. Your job is to be the priest, and only you and your sons can do that. The other Levites can't. Why? Because God said so. You know, if you're going to approach God, you've got to approach Him His way. There's only one way to do it, and this is the way He did. And when Jesus Christ was in the garden, and all the sweating drops of blood, and this and that, and He said, Father, if there's any other way, because all things are possible for you, so surely you can have some other way to save man, because I'm all for it. I'm here to do your will, and I'm here to save man. But if you can do it by any other way than me having to take on the sins of the whole world, then let's do that. Because that's the most abhorrent thing. It's not the pain of the cross. Jesus wasn't worried about that. It's His pure, holy, sinless life taken on your sins, on my sins, all the sins of Hitler and Stalin and everybody else. That would be very repulsive. That would be the most difficult thing for Him possibly to do. He said, Father, if there's any other way, then I pray you do that. But not my will, but thine be done. His complete surrender. He said, you said this is the way, that's the way we're going to do it. That's what God said here. God said, this is the way. This is what I've given you. I've given you Aaron and the priesthood. You're going to do it this way. Us today. If we're going to come to God, I'm sorry, you can't do it by Buddha. You can't do it by Muhammad. You can't do it by Joseph Smith of the Mormons. You can't do it by the Jehovah's Witnesses way. Because God said there's one way. And that one way is Jesus Christ. And it's Jesus Christ as He is in the Bible. He's not just, Jesus Christ just isn't a name. Jesus is His name. His name is Jesus, son of Joseph. That's His earthly name. But His name, Jesus Christ, is Jesus the Messiah. That, we'll talk about it more in 1 John. But that means Jesus Christ came in the flesh. His name is Jesus. He was here. He was a human. He was a man, fully in the flesh. But He's also Christ, fully God. It's from the beginning. He's fully God. He's both. He's the only way. You can't have another Jesus. You can't have the Jesus of the Mormons because He's not Christ. He is some other figure that doesn't fit that. You can't have a Jesus of the Muslims because they say He's not the Son of God. He's not divine. He was just human. You can't have that. You have Jesus Christ of the Bible. It's the only way to get there. And that's the way God established it from the beginning. There's one way to get to His presence. And after you bring your sacrifices and offerings to cover your sins, the priest takes it, prepares it, and does the work. He pours out the blood, and the one day a year for the sins of all the people, he sheds the blood of a bullock for his sins. Then he sheds a bullock for the sins of all the people. Then he takes that blood in on that one day a year before the Holy of Holies, before the Ark of the Covenant, and pours that out and sprinkles it there that God may cover our sins. Well, they were used to one way. God trained them that way for a purpose. So now, it's not so shocking when you say there's one way to God, which our world doesn't like, but that's the way God established it, and that's the way it is. And they shall be joined unto thee, and keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation for all the service of the tabernacle, and a stranger shall not come nigh unto you. Only the priest can do this. Nobody else can do it. That's what God said. Let's do it His way. And ye shall keep the charge of the... Okay, and... ye shall keep the charge of the sanctuary and the charge of the altar, that there be no wrath anymore upon the children of Israel. Okay? You say, well, that's narrow-minded, dogmatic. It's like, no, it's there for the people's protection. If the people just come bolting in, well, God's judgment is going to fall on them. If we are just going to say, well, I'm going to live my life and I'm going to be a good person and I'll just talk to God on Judgment Day, sorry, because you can't stand in the presence because God is holy. Nothing impure, imperfect, sinful can ever come into His presence. So we've got a problem. But God loved us so much that here He loves Israel so much, He's provided them a tabernacle, priesthood, all these things that they might approach God and have their sins forgiven. Well, New Testament, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God is pure and holy, sin can't enter His presence, but He's made a way, even for sinful flesh like us, because we can come to Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty for our sins. And if we ask Him to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, God is faithful to do so. And we can come into the presence of God boldly, as we prayed earlier. We come before the throne of God. How? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how we can come. Here they came through God's established tabernacle rituals. And I, behold, I have taken your brethren the Levites from among the children of Israel. To you they are given as a gift to the Lord, to do the service of the tabernacle. So he's talking to Aaron. He said, Aaron, I've given you all your family, your whole tribe of Levi, to help you with this work. You've got a big work to do. You've got a lot to do. I mean, can you imagine the sacrifices of this entire people? Millions of people. I mean, they had a lot to do. They needed help to be able to do all this work and to pick the tabernacle up and move it. All those things. He said, I've given you your family. That's my gift to you. I've provided for you through them. Therefore, thou and thy sons with thee shall keep the priest's office for everything of the altar and within the veil ye shall serve. I have given your priest's office unto you as a service of gift, and the stranger that cometh shall be put to death. He said, this is your job. I've given it to you. You're the one that ministers with the holy things. I've given you that gift unto you. You are there. You're blessed by that. But not just anybody can do it, because I've chosen you. Okay, He's given that as a gift. And that's what He's given us in His church. He's given us the gift of salvation. I mean, people a lot of times look at Christianity and say, well, I don't want any of that. That's too restrictive. Now I can't go drink and dance and do all the things I want to do. No, God has given you salvation and a ministry as a gift. Our gift is to be able to tell this good news to the rest of the world. That's our gift of service. He has given us that. That's what we're to be doing. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, behold, I have given thee charge of mine heave offerings, and of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel, unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever. Now he gets into the details, but basically said, your gift, your vocation, okay? Now everybody just has a job, right? But in the old days, we used to talk about what's your vocation. Now we talk about your career or whatever, and that's basically focused on how much money you can make, how successful you're going to be, how young you can retire, and how nice a place you can live in, you know, when you're done. But we used to call it a vocation. Everybody had a vocation. The difference in a career and a vocation, a career is about making money. A vocation is about your calling from God. Your vocation is your life's work. It's how do I serve God in this world? Now, most of us, we do that through a regular old secular job. We go out and we work for whatever. We pump gas or we do this or we do that. That's how we sustain our families. And that's right. But that's still our calling, our vocation. Because in that, we need to be professing Jesus Christ. We need to be a living example of Jesus Christ. What opportunities we have, we need to share that. But that is our calling. Because our real job is to spread the gospel. That's what Jesus told them to do, didn't he? Let's go spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's our real job. Now, if you do that pumping gas, that's fine. Some people do it as career missionaries. That's fine. Some people do it as preachers and teachers. That's fine, too. But whatever your job is, it's your vocation, it's your calling, it's your way to live out God's calling in your life. And that's what we do. And that's what he's telling Aaron. He said, Aaron, you're calling, and they're calling to full-time service, okay? Because he doesn't give them a farm. When they take the land, everybody gets their land and property and this and that. The Levites get no farms. They don't get their 40 acres and a mule, okay? Because that's not their job. Their job is to serve in the tabernacle. They have cities to dwell in. They have homes. They have gardens. But their job is that, and so God provides for them. How does He provide? Well, when these people bring their offerings, when they bring their tithes, their first fruits, all those things to the Lord, God says, that all belongs to me, but tell you what, I'm going to give you part of it. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you most of it. You just take part of it and burn that for me as prescribed. The rest of it's yours to take home and eat. This is your provision. And that's what He does. If they bring these offerings, and I'll skip through these verses for time, but He said, this shall be thine of the most holy things, reserved from the fire. Okay, everything that comes into the temple belongs to God, right? And how do they give it to God? Well, you don't want to put it on the altar and you burn it up. And that way the smoke goes up to heaven. But God says, I've reserved out of my portion, I've reserved to provide for you. Every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, every sin offering of theirs, every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons. So it's the provision for the priest. So they get a portion of all that comes in the offerings. And He says, in the most holy place shalt thou eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy unto thee. So there's a first part that the priests sit there and eat right there in the tabernacle. They have to. But then the rest of it, they take home to provide for their families. They can all eat of it. And it is thine, the heave offering of their gifts, the wave offerings, and so forth. So that's how He provides for the priest. And verse 12, all the best of the oil, all the best of the wine, and of the wheat, the first fruits of them, which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. So God takes good care of His people, doesn't He? You spend your life serving God, He's going to provide for you. And what did He provide? Not just the leftovers. That's kind of what we do, right? When the missionaries always used to talk about missionary barrels. The missionary barrels are all those old worn-out clothes that you throw in the back and you put them on the barrel and ship them to the missionaries. And most of them have lice and tear. They've got to pick through to find anything decent. They've got the leftovers. God didn't do that. God said, when these people bring in, what did the people offer? Well, they offered the first fruits. The very first grapes that they harvested, the very first wheat that they harvested, that's what they brought unto God. And God said, that's what I'm giving unto you. That's the best part. I always remember, I always like it, in the early summer when the fresh corn comes out. Oh, that sweet corn. You know, all winter you've been eating that frozen stuff and thought it was good. But you just put a lot of butter and salt on it and it's alright. But when that fresh stuff comes in, the store has that first bed, you go down to the farmer's market and you get that fresh corn in there. Oh, that first fresh corn is in there. It's so good. Just so fresh and good and tasty. The first fruit, that's the best stuff. And that's what God has reserved for His priests. He says, here, I'm bringing you the first fruits. God provides for His people. It's the best of everything. I've given it to you. And whatsoever is first ripe in the land, which they shall bring unto the Lord, shall be thine. Everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. Everything devoted in Israel shall be mine. Everything that openeth the matrix and all the flesh. And so now you bring unto the Lord. He says the firstborn are all His. Because remember the plague, the firstborn were killed in Egypt, but God preserved their firstborn. So He says, okay, the firstborn are all mine. So when your ewe has that first lamb, that's the Lord's. Because we've said that's what we do. It's the same teaching as the tithe. Our tithe is supposed to be the first portion of what we earn, what we have. Because we're saying, Lord, this is just a portion, but this is the first that's coming to me because all of it belongs to you. It's all yours. I give it to you first. And there's one. Greg Harris is a popular homeschool speaker. Always talks about pay first who you fear the most. Okay? Well, look at the way it's set up. You get a paycheck, what happens? Okay, well, if you know what your salary is, that's not what's in your paycheck, is it? Because Uncle Sam has already gotten his piece out of it. He takes it first before you ever get it. He's figured out that's the way to get paid. Take the first part. You know? But what do we do? Who do we fear? I mean, we fear the IRS, sure. But who should you fear more than the IRS? God. God should get the first part. Take your part first. Give that to God. Then we'll deal with the IRS and everything after that. Give Him the first part because He's the one we respect the most. He's the one that gives us the ability to make money. He's the one that provides for us. So we give Him the first part to signify that. So the firstborn of every animal, you give those. He again talks about those that are unclean, you redeem. Or a human. You don't sacrifice a human, of course, but you pay a price to redeem him. And you give that price as the offering. Jump down to verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land. neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. They don't get land. So your job is not to go out and raise a crop. The majority of the country it is. I mean, that's just the way it is. We've got to take care of business. But he said, for them, he said, I'm not giving you an inheritance in the land. I'm giving you a dependency on me. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all, the tenth in Israel, for an inheritance, for their service, for they serve even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. So that tent that the people provide, that provides for the Lord's work. That's what we do in offerings. We give offerings unto the church. It's to provide for the Lord's work. It pays for the building and things we need. It pays salaries. It pays for gifts to missions and all those sorts of things. That part that we give is what supports the Lord's work. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. So he's saying, you've got to be there for the people. You've got to have the priesthood in this case, which we don't have to have a priesthood now. We don't need a priest to go to. We're not dependent on a priest to have our sins forgiven. We don't have to go give an offering to a priest and say, pray for me. Or we don't have to go to a priest and say, you know, confess our sins and have him pray for us. No, Jesus Christ is our high priest. And we all have direct access to Jesus Christ. We can speak to him. We can talk to him. We go straight to him. He is our high priest. But here it's in the Levites, I've given you, the King James says, I've given you the tenth of the tithe. You take the tenth of the tithe. Okay? Or in some translations it says the tithe of the tithe. Because it means the same thing. The tithe means the tenth. So the priests now that they're provided for by the tithe, he says to you, I haven't given you an inheritance, but it's the same thing as the fruit of the vine. It's the same thing as the people when they take the wine press and give you the grape juice. When they take the wheat and thresh that, they give a tenth of that. Well, what you get in offerings, you give a tithe of the tithe. You give a tenth of that back to the Lord's work. That's what you sacrifice to the Lord. Just like everybody else. The priest had the tithe as well. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when you take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance. So what's the source? Not the people. It's from God. What's the source of the people's wealth? It's God. We keep thinking it's our ability. It's our ability because I'm a good farmer. It's our ability because I'm a good worker. Or no, that comes from God. And that's what we're saying every time we give him the first fruits. We give him the tenth, the first part. We're saying, God, it's all from you. Then, the provision for the priests. Well, the priests don't say, okay, my provision comes from the people, so I can keep the people happy. Well, we've got that problem today in a lot of churches. There's preachers that are doing the same thing. They have to say what the people want to hear, otherwise they become unemployed. Well, I hate to tell them, it's not the people that pays them. It's God who provides. That's what we need to remember. His job is to speak for the Lord, not speak what the people want to hear. The people are not employed. God may be using the people to provide for you, and that's wonderful, but God's providing. He can provide for it in the mouth of a fish if he wants to. It's God who provides, and if we're not pleasing him, that's when we're in trouble. And then it said in this, verse 27, in this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you, or counted, as though it were the corn of the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the winepress. So, God says, here, I've blessed you with this offering of the people, this tithe of the people. But when you get it, it's just like that was your crop just came in. That's your first fruits. You take that and offer the first part of that unto me, just like it was coming from the threshing floor. Thus ye also shall offer an heap offering unto the Lord of all your tithes which ye receive of the children of Israel, and ye shall give thereof the Lord's heap offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all your gifts ye shall offer every heap offering of the Lord of all the best thereof, even the hallowed part thereof out of it. So, the people bring in the best that they have, their first fruits, the best things. Then they take that apart, and you take the very best part of that, and you burn it and offer it to the Lord. And then the priests get the rest of it. Then the priests take what they get, and they take the very best part of that, and they offer that for an offering unto the Lord. You give the Lord the best of the best you have. He never says how much you have to. He says, just give him your best. Give him the first, give him the best. Out of your gifts you shall offer every heave offering of the Lord out of the best thereof, even the hallowed part thereof out of it. Therefore, thou shalt say unto them, when ye have heaved the best thereof, then it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor and the increase of the winepress, and ye shall eat it in every place, ye and your households, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. So God does pay a good day's wages for a good day's work. He provides for those who work, just as we should provide those that work for us. And you shall eat it every place, your household. It's available to everything. You provide for your family, all their needs. And ye shall bear no sin by reason of it, when ye have heed from it the best of it, neither shall you pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest ye die. They had a very important responsibility, because God had set up this structure. And without them, the people's sins were not going to be forgiven. Okay, so the people brought these offerings to say, I've sinned, and I acknowledge that, and I'm bringing an offering to God, asking for his forgiveness. Now the priests, they get to eat of that, and it's not sin for them to eat of it, but they have to do the same thing. They need to take what they receive, give the first part of it to the Lord. This whole thing is just recognizing that everything comes from God. That God is our source, He's our provider, He's everything. He's our source of sustenance. He's also our source of salvation. And it's important for us as Christian people, because in a way, we're a priesthood to the rest of the world. Now, they don't have to come to us, and we don't have to have fancy garments, we don't have to have special ceremonies, this and that. But we're the ones who are going to take the words of God, right here in His holy book, the Bible, and we're the ones that are going to share it with them. Now, I've heard a few testimonies. Somebody got themselves in terrible trouble and they wound up in a motel room and they reach in there and they get a Gideon Bible and they read it and they get saved. I mean, well, that's wonderful. But if the Gideons hadn't put that Bible there, it wouldn't be there. But most people, even though Bibles are everywhere, probably almost anybody you stop in the street and ask, do you have a Bible in your home? They'll say yes. Whether they could find it or not, it's another matter. Or maybe it's sitting right out on the table, but does anybody ever open it? Do they ever read it? Most likely not. Most likely they don't. So how are they going to find out about it? Somebody's got to tell them. Somebody's got to say. And we have to live in such a way that we lend credibility to it. Not that we have to be perfect, but that Jesus Christ can take sinners and change them. That's what we're a testimony to. And so we need to have this opportunity to share with people and say, well, you know, have you ever thought about this? Do you ever think about future? I mean, oh, yeah, I've got a 401k account, and I've got this and that, and I'm planning to retire at 55 and go to the Caribbean. And well, that's nice. Have you thought beyond that? Have you thought about what happens when you die? Well, no, I really don't think about that much. Well, no one think about it. Well, nobody knows what happens. I said, well, I know somebody who does know what happens. And he wrote a book. Oh, really? Now, there's books out now. There's books out about, they're real popular now, about I've been to heaven, come back. You know, there's even a movie out now, and this and that. Well, they don't know what they're talking about, because they haven't been to heaven. They don't know. But Jesus Christ has. And Jesus Christ came down here on this earth, and He told us about it. And He told us, and it's right here. And so I said, well, you know, there is a way to know what the future holds. There is a way to know what happens. And the first part of the story is pretty sad. But isn't that how good stories go anyway? They always start off and things are tough and things, you get to a crisis point and things are terrible and then something, you know, and along came Jones and saves the day. Well, that's it. The Bible first says all of sin comes short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin are death. Well, we're in trouble. All includes me. Includes everybody. And the penalty is death. Well, that doesn't sound like a happy ending. But the gift of God is eternal life. Oh boy. For everybody? No. Through Jesus Christ, His Son. Through one way. Through one way. That's the good news. You may think it's closed-minded, intolerant, but it's true. It's the only way that works. So, if it's my life hanging in the balance, I don't really care about whether it's my favorite way or not. Just give me the one that works. And Jesus Christ is the one way that works.